Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour this evening. On this July the 1st on the West Coast, July the 2nd on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. Also, I would like to welcome all the folks who are listening around the world through Wind Talkers Radio, Blog Talk Radio, of course, anyone listening to BBSRadio.com, and any of the streams or micro-broadcasters that are picking the show up and broadcasting it via radio, AM, possibly even FM radio. I've had a few people say they've heard this show on satellite. So I guess the message is reaching a lot of people, and I'm grateful for that, especially for all the folks in the military around the world who are really paying attention to what's going on and seeing things through the eyes of truth. I want to especially thank Drew Raines for the massive audience and devoted listeners that he has brought to my show as a listening audience and visitors to my website. Drew is not just a patriot. He's a fine man, a fine human being, and he's doing God's work on this planet, as I feel all of my guests are. And I'm indebted to folks like Jim Murray, Ken Adachi, Michael Anthony. Of course, I mentioned Drew. The list goes on and on and on. My publishers at the Idaho Observer, Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle, and even the folks at BBS Radio, Don and Doug Newsom, who have been very supportive of the work that I've been doing, giving me a shot on this network, Seth on the sound. We've had interns coming and going. Most of them are gone. and we've develop the system as we grow. BBS is growing. Of course, my listening audience is growing, and it's been a challenge to keep up with the expanded audience. And I'm praying that it continues, this trend continues, because it's a reflection on people waking up around the world. And many come to the show already awakened and are glad to hear that there's someone out there putting out what they feel is the truth. The guests I bring on the show are such individuals, and I'm fortunate to have them as my friends, and fortunate that they're willing to come forward many nights throughout the month with all the things they have going on in their lives, and sharing their time freely with you, in the hopes that if you are awake and you're listening and getting the message, that you will in kind turn around and awaken people that you know in your area. At least get people to tune into the show, or to get them to go to our websites, the many websites that are hosted by our guests. Also, the many fine books that they've written, or the many audio archives, because I have a lot of talk show hosts on here as well. They're talk show hosts doing basically the same thing I'm doing, and they're researchers, they're journalists, they're authors. Some are in the medical community, nutritionalists, osteopaths, psychologists, psychiatrists. We have musicians, we have artists, artisans, you could even say. I've had actors, directors, producers on this show, people from every walk of life. Biblical scholars is a popular type of guest to have on the show. And I mean someone that really, really sees the Bible. I've had legal experts, attorneys, famous attorneys. Carl Pearson from New York. Vincent Bugliosi's been on the show. The man that wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island. G. Edward Griffin has been on this show. The man who exposed the non-oil crisis, or the non-energy crisis, I should say. Lindsay Williams has been on this show. On and on. Many, many renowned authors, researchers, people that care about you, the listener. They love their country, and they care about the rest of the world, too. And that's going to take us into tonight's topic. I share the mic and the airwaves with my guests, and I get my two cents in. If you've listened to the show any amount of time, you've noticed that I will go for several minutes sometimes and state my case on some issues and try to bring clarification or try to move the conversation closer to the truth. There are many ways to reveal the truth and expose it, and because of how we're conditioned, and I'm going to get into that as I have on other shows, we have a tendency to take for granted that everything is normal around us because it's always done to us. And I'm going to discuss those issues, but we have to awaken to a higher aspect of ourselves. It's imperative that mankind does this, or mankind will not survive. And neither are those that, or neither will those that would enslave mankind. And I'll talk more about that as we go along. Before I really get into the talk, I feel it's appropriate to mention a group of people in space that are listening to us. They are a federation of 574 planets from around our galaxy, and they are known as the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon, and there are many names that I'm aware of these people. I certainly would not give out all the names for a variety of reasons. That's not even important. What is important, though, is that there is a reality greater than us that is watching what is going on here. And any of you who know God or know of God or are contemplating getting in touch with God, then you may consider that we are not the only living species, and I hesitate to use the word intelligent or intelligence, but some of us are intelligent, and we do exhibit signs of intelligence, but we exhibit many other characteristics that are holding us back and keeping us from being who we came here to be. The Federation that I just described is monitoring what's going on here on the planet, and I hope in future shows to bring more information out about them. I'm going to go into a little bit of discussion about them and some other issues a little bit later in the talk. And this, what is this talk going to be about? Well, if you've listened to a few shows, I've had several requests from people from time to time, and more recently, many more requests, to go into a talk about the meaning of life and the meaning of life in this three-dimensional reality that we call life on planet Earth, and the grander meaning in terms of metaphysics and that which goes beyond science. And if you've listened to some shows, you've heard a very knowledgeable, very experienced scientist inventor, Jim Murray, on this show talk about these very things, just like a metaphysician would talk about them. And there's nothing spooky or dark about metaphysics, despite what you might be told. We're going to get into all these different aspects of what life is and who we are and why we're here. And hopefully, it will answer some questions you may have, I may take some calls about a half an hour to 40 minutes into this talk. I may take a few calls. So I would urge you, first of all, to listen rather than to be thinking about what you would ask. Listen and see if you're not inspired to really consider asking a question or making a comment from a higher vibration, not from the reality that we know here, because this reality is going to be short-lived, and I'll explain why. So with that, I guess I could begin the talk just by saying that, okay, here we are. We're on this planet that we call Earth, and we know so little about this planet. We're busy moving about day to day, moment to moment, not even often considering what we're doing, what the purpose is of what we're doing, and we disregard the fact that we are on this planet. We are visitors to this planet. This planet is a living entity. It was created billions of years ago. Some of the more ancient writings, or some of the deeper metaphysical writings, describe this time period as having been roughly 4 or 4.5 billion years ago. I could say that it could even be longer, but that it was able to support life at least that long ago. Now, what is life? Isn't life an expression of the Almighty Creator's oneness and singularity, and then his decision or his inspiration to expand himself, to experience himself in greater detail, in greater depth? And so he gives us the ability to have a consciousness, and it's on a plane. It's in a dimension quite different from where we are at this moment. And I'm speaking about our inception. Imagine that you were just created from a spark of life, of the love and the all of creation in the Creator himself, or him herself, as some would prefer to say, a balance of the male and the female qualities. Now, God breathed into us life, and I'm not even speaking about the physical body as you know it, but there is an aspect that is undeniable that drives us to do the things that we do, or keeps us from doing things that we don't do. Sometimes it keeps us from doing things we should do, and sometimes it encourages us to do things we shouldn't do. And it's usually not the imperfection of that essence of who we are, the spiritual component, and it doesn't necessarily have the name. Let's say your name is John Brown today. In the spirit realm, that name means nothing other than its relationship to your physical existence right here. So God created the Earth and other planets where life is teeming on different levels of consciousness for the purpose of allowing an experience in a controlled environment. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that controlled environment has to be one of slavery or one of darkness, one of murder, one of constant exposure to toxins and poisons, or one of mind control or harassment through technologies. Those are not God's creations. Those are the creations of the demented aspects of the beings that create these things in the first place. So imagine now the Earth is a home. It's a resting place for us, and it's a school in a sense. You've all probably heard this from time to time. Life is like going to school. Well, let's get these things straight, because my understanding of school right now is that it's nothing but part of the propaganda machine. It's where one is brainwashed. It's not necessarily where one is educated, unless you want to call an education indoctrination into a system of slavery. The earth itself does not need mankind to exist. Let's get that clear, first of all. God created the earth, and I'm sure other beings of the angelic realm, the hosts of heaven, have played some role in creating the earth, guiding it along her path, and then protecting the earth from time to time, from invasions and from destruction of those that inhabit it, or those that come to visit it, or those that have designs to own it. Let's not forget that everything that exists was created by one being. And this being is so far beyond our comprehension. We refer to this being as God, or the creator, or the prime source. Some people just say source. We have all kinds of names, but do we really know who God is? Do we really know why God created us in the first place beyond what I'm saying right now? Is it unreasonable to think that he would express himself in limitless ways, and that he would do so freely and adhere to that law and create free will, which must include freedom? And yet, there are certain understandings of what one would call universal laws that are not special in one place and ignored in another place. They should all fall into the same category, regardless of where the planet is, regardless of what solar system it is in, or what galaxy it's in, or what part of the universe it is in. Or even what part of a multiverse, if you can imagine that there are more realities than you can see, and so you're limited by your consciousness. You're limited by the Earth's consciousness in terms of what you and I and we do to the Earth. Because basically the same thing that's happening to mankind is happening to the Earth. Those that are enslaving mankind or abusing the earth. But the earth does not need mankind to exist. The laws of nature take care of the earth. You ever wonder what makes the earth spin? What causes it to turn? And to turn with a regularity? To make a complete turn in a 24-hour period? And the circumference of the earth at the equator is roughly 24,000 miles. And therefore, the earth in traveling 24,000 miles in 24 hours means it's moving at 1,000 miles an hour. And we stay on here. We don't fly off. And you can say, well, it's gravity. But birds, which are much lighter, can float. And there are other creatures, insects, can fly. We can say, well, they're small. Well, they should be more susceptible to the forces of gravity, if that's the case. So we're not being told the truth about the true nature of the earth and what the earth, how the earth operates, what it's made up of, what it entails, what's at the center of the earth. Some have speculated that it's like a sun or a nuclear reactor at its center. And there are other aspects of the earth. Some say there were people living inside the earth. We know for certainty that there are people living in the ground below the surface of the earth. How far down that goes is yet to be seen, but there will come a time soon when we will know all of these things. Now, the earth was created as a place to sustain us and experience its own consciousness as well. The earth has three dimensions involved in its day-to-day existence. The first dimension, you could say, in a sense, is located at the center. The second dimension is all of that which leaves the center realm where elementals reside. And these are the metals and all the minerals and the substances that make up the structure of the earth. And some refer to it as the mantle or the crust. And as you come up to the surface, it's really at the surface of the earth where the third dimension begins. But wherever you have physicality in a three-dimensional construct, for instance, if you dig a hole into the earth and you go into the hole, you can experience three-dimensionality or the third dimension. But it's there, but it's not necessarily meant to be experienced that way. We do things to the earth constantly, changing its natural makeup. It was made perfectly. And if you could see the earth's aura from space, you would see it as dirty and dark and gray and blurred, as if it were a light that's beginning to fade. Not beginning, but almost completely extinguished, might be a better explanation. And what are the conditions of the earth? The waters are polluted. The oceans are polluted. Oil is pumped out of the inner earth and brought up to the surface. And it was really never intended for that to happen. And with that happening, the earth found a way to keep making the oil, despite the fact that we're told that there's not enough. It's running out. And it's put into all the products you ingest. Tell me why someone would want to do that unless their intentions weren't to cause you to be sick or to even kill you. So we come into this reality which is based upon natural law, the law of cause and effect, the law of attraction. All of these laws that affect people also affect nature. And we see this in the plant kingdom, and we see this in the animal kingdom. You know, they teach us about animals in school. A guy rang a bell and put food out for dogs, Pavlov. And then he did this for a while, and then every time the dogs came to eat, when they heard the bell, they began to salivate. Okay, this was some marvelous revelation that we were taught in school that was supposed to just reveal everything about the animal kingdom to us. That this guy could teach dogs to salivate by ringing a bell. It's a form of mind control for animals, believe it or not. Problem, reaction, solution. Well, many, many years ago, hundreds of thousands of years ago, As people were put on this planet, and I would tell you, mankind didn't come from a monkey, and he didn't come from a worm. And yet, if you look at all animals, ultimately their source is from the same point. Let's not forget about the Creator, that everything came from the same point, and is an individualized expression or an individuated expression of that whole, that oneness, that inception, the alpha, the beginning. Now, when we come to Earth, as a human, we have to learn to adapt to the Earth's energy fields. I could spend a whole show just talking about what makes the Earth turn, but let's just allude to the fact that there were energy vortexes and grids of energy. Jim Murray's talked about this to great extent. And something as simple as a grid that the Earth fits into holds it in this three-dimensional reality and causes it to spin 1,000 miles an hour or 24,000 miles in a day, making a complete revolution. Sometimes you're facing the sun. Sometimes you're in total darkness because the sun cannot reach everything, all points on the planet. The Earth is basically a sphere. or a spheroid. But it's not necessarily a perfectly round ball, and its trajectory in space is guided by many things. If it's surrounded by a vortex, if it's moving inside of a vortex, then that vortex is larger than the Earth, and it must be a very powerful energy to be able to cause a planet the size of the Earth to spin. Now, without getting into is it spinning faster or is it spinning slower than it was 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago, that's really not all that important. We tend to ask those types of questions when we fear that it might stop. But I remind you that things always change in life and in the universe, in the creation. Things are constantly changing. Despite what a particular politician might promise you about change, change occurs by itself. The choices we are given as spiritual beings coming here for a purpose are really what it's all about. We're given a multitude of choices, and some are going to benefit us, and some are going to hold us back. Some are going to help us, and some are going to hurt us. Some are going to help others, some are going to hurt others. And life is an unending changing of those decisions that have to make. Now, what is the paradigm on Earth about? The Earth doesn't need us, but we certainly benefit from what the Earth has to offer us when we're living in this three-dimensional world. The Earth provides water, it provides food, it provides the energies that we need, including air to breathe. It provides sustenance beyond what we ingest into our bodies in many ways. It helps deliver light to us through a multiplicity of transmutative processes, filtering sunlight so that we can take it into our body and use it to metabolize food to keep us healthy because of vitamin D and its importance in keeping a balanced system. It grows, the sun grows the plants on the Earth. The sun influences the Earth. It keeps it warm. Keeps it from totally freezing into a solid piece of ice. And there's a tremendous intelligence at work. Just in considering how the Earth and the Moon and the Sun all seem to know what they're doing. And they do something totally different from each other, and yet they are supporting each other and likewise supporting us. Now, we're living on a planet that we're abusing. We're causing the planet to become ill. And if you doubt that, all you have to do is look at yourself in the mirror and look at a picture of yourself from 5 years ago or 10 years ago. In some cases, you can look at a picture from a year ago and you can see a remarkable change in your appearance, in your features. Your skin might be more wrinkled. It may be gray. Certainly your hair could be gray or it could have fallen out. Some people put on excessive amounts of weight. Some people become very thin and against their wishes, unhealthy. Many, many adverse reactions go on in our inner body because of the energy that we have around us, that we bring from the spiritual realm, which can manifest itself through the physical and be seen by certain people. You can see the auras of a person. You can see if the aura is a healthy aura or a sick aura. Now, we're brought into life, when we're born into life, we are basically in our purest state, having left the spiritual realm. We are uncontaminated beyond what we may have assimilated from the diet of our mother who was carrying us through 9 months of a gestation period. And upon giving birth to us, what do the doctors do? They begin injecting us with vaccinations. Oh, they got to have this, and you've got to have this. We don't want the child to die. And yet, the rest of the life, the child, which is then growing up into an adolescent, and then an adult, and then a senior citizen, is struggling to stay alive because of the things that have been put into it to cause it to become sick. Why? Because there is money to be made. We can make money out of sickness. So therefore, we take control of the child from the day it's born. That way, the parents learn right away what the deal is. And then they set up all kinds of agencies to administrate this. And hundreds of millions, or even hundreds of billions, or even trillions of dollars are made concocting all kinds of so-called vaccinations designed to keep you from catching a disease. Well, where did these diseases come from in the beginning? What created these things? If the earth was perfect and the earth sustains us, what is imperfect about the earth that it should create diseases that we have to fight? No, I submit to you that mankind created those diseases. On many levels, mankind created those diseases. In laboratories, in his thinking, in his eating habits, and in his lack of spirituality, or in his refusal to acknowledge the truth and instead try to recreate a false reality that would actually challenge God. You see, that's the dilemma of mankind. God created us, God created the earth, God created all of space and all of the planets throughout the universe, or the multiverse. And yet we somehow think that we can come up with something, and I say we because there are those of us, whether they are human or masquerading as humans, or they're from other planets, whatever you want to call them. Devils or aliens or people, whatever name you want to give them, it really doesn't matter. It's what they do that does matter. It's what we do that matters, as well as what we don't do. Ultimately, it's about becoming aware. It's about becoming knowledgeable. It's about gaining wisdom. It's about consciousness. Ultimately, it's about light and the truth and love. In metaphysics, it's said that God's creations all spring out of his love. His love for himself, and certainly that's not to be misconstrued as conceit. Here on earth, in a three-dimensional reality, there are plenty of people that love themselves and care about nothing other than themselves. And out of that is born greed, out of that is born all the perversions, out of that is born all the crime committed on the rest of humanity, and this insanity, this insane, insatiable quest to control everyone. To set up rules and boundaries, and to delight in the boundaries that are invisible, as if to say, look, these fools are imprisoned and they don't even know it. Or they're believing in illusions. Look how stupid they look. Because we know these things are, are not true. What kind of sick being, perverted being, corrupt being, dark being would even make that kind of activity its existence? What kind of being would contemplate murdering millions of people? And what joy could they expect to get out of that? Yet this is done. This is done throughout the universe. This is not the only place this is happening, folks. Remember I mentioned the Galactic Federation. 574 planets from in our galaxy. And they talk about not really wanting or not really choosing to go outside of the galaxy because it's dangerous outside the galaxy. There has to be some caution. These are people that really don't have to fear the way people fear. You see, we're taught to comply through illusion. And one of the biggest illusions is fear. That punishment, and the ultimate punishment, death, is what we should be afraid of. So we go on living these lives, really, in what was a Garden of Eden at one time, we go on living these lives in fear of the inevitable, that we are going to exit our vehicle. Just like you drive to work, and when you get to work, do you stay in your car and demand that everybody bring your duties out to your vehicle, or do you get out of the vehicle? Of course, you get out, you go inside another building or a vehicle, different kind of structure, where there are more people, and you communicate and interact with these people. Now, depending on what kind of work you're doing, you're either really loving what you're doing or you're hating it. There's not a whole lot of in-betweens anymore. In fact, those that love their work have had it ripped out from under them, just like a rug, because of corruption. And they've been lied to and told. You see, this is part of the illusion. The illusion presents itself in many ways. First is to present you with the physical illusions of all sorts. The kind to be seen, the kind to be heard, the kind to be felt. The subliminal kind that you're not aware of, that has a tendency to control your mind and lower the vibration of your vehicle and put you out of touch with your higher vibration, which is your spiritual essence. That's the part of you that doesn't die, and that's the part of you that cannot be attacked. And really can't be sick. You're either in touch with it or you're not. It's part of you in terms of your connection with who you are, or you're not. I suppose if you dressed a child up like a clown, and for the first 10 years of that child's life, it had to wear a clown suit, he or she, the first time you took off the clown suit, that person would not feel normal. They've been acclimated to looking and feeling and reacting and being reacted to by others on the basis of that clown suit. Now, you have some people that have this subliminal but very real fear, real in the sense that they manifest it. They'll tell you, I hate clowns, or they scare the hell out of me. There's something about them. I don't know what it is. Now, there's obviously some aspect of DNA memory or some etheric energy or some remembrance on some level. Even though you may not be conscious, it's certainly trying to surface itself, and it manifests itself as fear. I've talked to adults that are saying they're afraid of clowns. They don't like being around them. Now, I'm not saying this to malign clowns. I'm not affected like that. We've got clowns in Washington that don't dress up like, you know, Ronald McDonald And they're as big a clowns as Ronald McDonald. So, you know, the word and how and its application are multifold. And they're only words, but the what these things represent to people plays a lot about a lot on their superstitions, on their fears, on things that they have been taught that are not necessarily true. You hear these sayings, you only live once, so go for the gusto. Do whatever you want, because you live, then you die, and you're forgotten. Okay, I'm not speaking to those people, because those people probably are not even listening to this show right now. And if they are listening, they have to be drawn in. They have to make the choice. I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything, nor am I trying or asking you to believe what I'm saying. Some of you know these things. I've touched upon something that you're aware of, whether it's about the earth or it's about just the basic. I'm not by no means giving you an exhaustive talk on the earth and its makeup. I'm just basically describing there are three dimensional realities that are independent of each other and yet dependent upon each other, that the earth fulfills its purpose. And so we come here with a purpose, and it's been interfered with, it's been masked and recreated and toxified, not just in substances, but in the manner of thought and the imagery that we've been giving. And these belief systems, these systems that cause us to accept things just because we're told to accept them. Remember, we go back to creation. God gave us free will and individuation. So we can choose to work together, you see. We can choose to be together. We can choose to love one another. We can choose to take care of each other, to nurture each other, and many other fine qualities that exist in the higher realms. Or we can choose to destroy ourselves. Ultimately, the system here in place right now on planet Earth, and it's been that way for about 450,000 years, is a destructive plan. It manifests itself through secret societies, through religions, through technology, and governments that acquire this technology and bomb the hell out of another country. It's happened over and over again to the point where the Earth was almost just totally erased from the memories of the universe. And it's gone through these cycles, and there are other beings we mentioned that are paying attention because they learn from watching our experiences. Now, for them, it would be like us watching earthworms and trying to figure out what they're saying to each other. Or cockroaches. And it's amazing, cockroaches have been around for millions of years, they say. Paleontologists say that. And we see them as vermin, as pests. And I'm not saying they are or they aren't, but the point I'm making here is we are doing the same things to the earth, and we're having this done to us the same way. And this false reality, this grand illusion has been created on this planet, and it's destroying the planet. And those that are doing it really don't care about it. Okay? So the responsibility that we have to undo all this is enormous, and it's really going to depend on if we're going to be able to keep up with some of the things that are happening. I'm absolutely convinced that the Earth is not just going to cast off the dross of humanity that is way, way below the lowest of the animals in consciousness, even plants. I mean, plants don't need man to survive. They've been around here since the earth was created. And many animals. I hear these ridiculous statements made by people in the medical community, particularly in animal husbandry or in veterinary practices or even in, sometimes in the spiritual realm. I'll hear, you know, metaphysicians, so-called psychics, animal psychics say, well, you know, your dog or your cat doesn't have a soul, but they have sort of, you know, they have a brain, they have a little bit of consciousness, they can recognize who you are, and they just want to be happy. And that's it afterward. I mean, we hear these ridiculous things from people. Everything has spirit in it. If it's got God in it, if God created it, it's got God's spirit in it. And that's the earth, and that's a rock, and that's a toad, and that's an alligator, and that's an apple, and a tomato, and a flower, and a tree, and a mountain, and an ocean, and the air, and the sky, and the sun, and the galaxy, and the universe. Everything has God in it. Everything is all of God. Now think of the insanity that the parts of God are arguing with each other as to what their reality is. If they're even going that far. And at least they do that in their physical realm, because we've been taught to worship idols, images. Images of things that have absolutely no meaning to us, but symbolically represent some kind of black magic ritual for those that bring these images out for us, you see. Those who would entrain us to respect these images. And it doesn't matter what the image is. It has its importance in this reality, and only as far as you're willing to let it go with your consciousness or your awareness of it. You have people making the sign of Satan. I saw a 5-year-old boy make the sign of Satan today. Making this sign, he has no inkling of a clue as to why he's doing that, other than he's seen adults do that. And so we have and I'm sure there are Satanists out there that, especially in the intelligence agencies, they're just reveling in that right now. Whoa, we got a 5-year-old. Wow. I hope you feel proud of yourself that you can molest kids, that somehow your pedophilia has to find its way into the law. You have to justify it by creating a law on a piece of paper. And I can't wait till the day when you have to face some sort of judgment, even if it's only your own, in a place where you can't lie and you have to fess up for what you've done. And I'll leave all the dogma out of what might happen to you and assume that you'll turn on yourselves, just like you do on the rest of us. And the innocent children, and the poisoning of children from birth. The needless vaccines. Oh no, no, we have to have these. They stop disease. And yet, don't we have a pandemic going on now? You see the mind control, folks. We have all these thousands of years of medical science, and they're supposed to have a handle on disease. Why does disease exist? What does it mean? Dis-ease, unease, or poor health. It's insane what's going on. And we don't even question this. We don't question this with all the advanced technologies that we have and all the bright minds that we have in the medical community. Do you think there hasn't been a cure for cancer for a long time? I mean, we hear these things. Oh, yeah, there was a cure for cancer that came out in 1976. They could cure cancer probably before the 1900s even began, although I'm hearing dates like 1921, 1926. I hear these dates thrown out there arbitrarily. What caused cancer in the first place? What causes all these other diseases? What causes the bird flu? What causes swine flu? What causes these things to mutate? Do you know how many laboratories there are across this country manufacturing bioweapons and growing all these diseases on slides and in petri dishes and beakers and God knows what else, injecting excrement from animals into living organisms? And trying to genetically control what's produced by doing that? And you don't think the Earth senses that this is going on? That which sustains life to all these other creations, to nature, the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom and people. And even the reptilians and the greys. It even supports them to some extent. You've got skies sprayed with poisons. And most people don't even see them. So you wonder, is mankind blind? Is he blinded because his optic nerve has ceased to function? Or is he brain dead? That despite what his eyes see, the brain is in a catatonic state, paralyzed, surrounded by an opaque film or a curtain or in a box. Where is our reality? Really, where is our consciousness as a whole and as individuals? How many of us look up at the stars at night and wonder how far beyond what we can see that those stars go, and the space in between, and the planets, and how many of those are inhabited with beings much more advanced than us, much more knowledgeable, much wiser, much more aware, much more conscious, much older than us. And how is it that they can be 500 years old and look younger than teens on this planet? And it's a part of their reality. It's how they are living. It's a part of their consciousness. It's a reflection of their thought processes and their understanding of greater truths than the few that you've been given here on this planet. And believe me, there is more than American Idol. There's more than Dancing with the Stars. There's more than baseball, football, basketball, soccer, hockey, tennis, horseback riding, although I appreciate the connection with nature. But I'm, let's say, horse racing or dog shows. We have all these things created for us to detract our attention away from who we are. You see, we are not those things. And they pay the people that participate in those programs, those events, those diversions that they like to call entertainment, enormous amounts of money because they're aiding and abetting in the mind control and the brainwashing of billions of people on this planet. What sick mind or entities would do that to its own kind? The only answer I can figure out is that they're not of their own kind. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. So yes, we are visited by others from other planets. That there's no doubt about that. On the 29th of May, I did a show. Many of you have heard about it. Some of you are hearing this for the first time. I did a show with Jim Murray, scientist and inventor, and we were talking about some scientific concepts of a universal nature, and we got a call from a representative of the Galactic Federation, the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, General Jeremiah, and he described that Earth, the people on Earth, were not quite ready to be inducted into that federation, which is one based upon brotherly love, believe it or not, a love of God and a love of the Son of God, known here on Earth as Jesus Christ. It was a lot to swallow that night to hear this message coming over the airwaves. This is not something new to me, but certainly was new to many of the listeners. And I assure you that this was not any kind of a trick, a spoof, a stunt, nothing like that. Serious. Dead serious. And I posted the archive, and I posted some pictures in a video on my website, directlightproductions.com, on the documentaries page. Just the first documentary I have. There'll be more soon. And I took pictures that I received and the audio and put it together in a little video so that you could see these things while you were hearing the conversation. And many people said it's very moving. It's very touching. They've known this in some way, but they're grateful for hearing that our consciousness is about to take a quantum leap for the better. And I underneath this video on my webpage, I wrote some comments. These were my statements. These were not the statements of the United Galactic Federation. But I had asked a rhetorical question, which has everything to do with what I'm talking about tonight, about the nature of God creating us and bringing us here to this earth for a purpose. Now, we could get into the purpose, but I think it's important at this point to refer to some of the things that I said that we must do to be able to move to a higher state of consciousness and become a part of something much grander than we ever could imagine. And yet, this is for our benefit. This is not to be controlled anymore. So there are those here who have been in control of things over thousands of years that have every intention of not having this information come forward or not having us experience these things. They would rather vaccinate us with TV programs, vaccinate us with taxes, vaccinate us with their corrupt theft of trillions and trillions of dollars on a daily basis. And their corruption, wanton taking of life, innocent life, to hide their own digressions, their own sins, if you want to even call them that. And I was asked by many people, you know, what does Earth have to do to become a member of the United Galactic Federation? And so I went through, in my mind, I went through a laundry list of what I think they would say, some of the, what would be the stipulations. Because they certainly don't want people that do these things in their midst. So I made up a list of bullet points. We must refrain from making war, especially those that enrich the international banking cartels and corporations. There's a difference between being in a war because you're protecting yourself from an invasion, say from outer space, as inhabitants of this planet, sometimes referred to as Mother Earth. After all, it sustains our lives like a mother would. Certainly, we should be able to get along with each other on this planet without being oppressed by criminals and psychopaths. Okay? Now, we must stop the systematic exploitation of Earth's natural resources, its environment, and its people. I've talked about that already, so I've summed all that up into one sentence. governments will be required to end the systematic extermination of the people through war, disease, pharmaceutical drugs, illegal drugs, intentional toxification, and starvation. And I'm being, someone is pinging me right now, so I apologize. I was distracted for a moment. Pinging me, that means they're trying to communicate with me through the computer. We must begin to accept individual collective responsibility for what we create and co-create while here on Earth. To some extent, I've discussed that, and I've discussed it on at least 100 shows. This issue of responsibility and really paying attention to what's going on here on the Earth. Not pretending like it's not there, or saying, well, you know, if you talk about these things or you focus on these things, you attract those things. I mean, you know, that's not the Aquarian way now. We're in the new age. No, we have to face and face our responsibility for allowing these things to have occurred, for not standing up to these criminals and these psychopaths at some point. Now, is it all our fault? Is it my generation's fault when I know that my parents didn't even think about it? And my parents' parents didn't think about it? And likewise with you, your parents didn't think about these things. And your parents' parents didn't think about it. On and on. This is an endless loop. It's a continuing cycle throughout humanity. The power players change a little bit, and the participants change. But ultimately, you know, we're supposed to be graduating and moving out of this illusion. Because this is nothing but an illusion. This stuff is not real. When you die, you certainly don't take any of it with you. That part is true. But you take the consciousness with you into the next realm, the next phase, the next chapter of your life. You will take that consciousness with you. And you will take your unconsciousness with you, too. And you'll have to reckon with that. So life is a learning process, yes. And it's not just someone has to teach you, and you learn, and then you're done with it. No. You are just as responsible for teaching others. And what are you going to teach them when you don't know yourself or you're not aware of what's going on? You can't do it. You can pretend. I mean, we have people doing that now in what we call our educational system. They're pretending that they're teaching us something. Oh, and I can see the scientists out there. Oh, I learned physics in school, and I learned calculus and trigonometry and quantum physics, and they're going to go into all the reasons of the things that they learned, but they don't know who they are. So what have they learned? If you don't know who you are or why you're here, and I really mean that in the deepest sense, you don't know who you are and why you're here, how can you say you learned anything? What did you learn? Gossip? Something to say about someone else? What can you say about yourself, about what you're offering to the world? Can you fool the earth? If it was just you and the earth, you know, all the earth would have to do is belch, and you'd be history. God wouldn't even have to handle that. The earth is quite capable of coming up with any number of possible ways of getting rid of you or me or any of us. In fact, that's probably the next phase of what's going on right now. I say probably, not with doubt. I mean, that is what's happening. Earth is going to change its vibration and our vibration because of all the energy that's moving throughout our solar system, hitting our planet and hitting the other planets in our solar system. The whole solar system is changing. And that's going to change the galaxy. Remember I said it changes all the time. It doesn't just stay in one state. It would have to stop moving and stop existing if it ceased to change. None of it would mean anything. None of it would matter. No pun intended. we must put an end to the rampant corruption that has taken over this planet. I've talked about that incessantly, and yet the majority is totally unaware of it, or oblivious to it, apathetic towards it. That's not my problem. It's not me doing it. It doesn't really affect me. Not realizing it affects everything. It affects the whole universe, what's going on here. In some way, it has an adverse effect on the universe. That doesn't mean the universe has lost out, though. Because those that do the things they do to destroy the earth and to destroy humanity and nature on this planet are going to be held responsible for it, whether they like it or not. And they're getting very nervous about the time that's coming when they're going to have to deal with it. Now I have I got a message from Seth here that we've got somebody on the line. Seth, is this person wanting to talk to me? How can somebody share a happy story with me if they don't come on the air? I'm going to wait for you to respond with that. Anyway, I'm going into a few more of these, you know, what I presume would be conditions for us to enter the Galactic Federation. We must end the intentional impoverishment of the masses for the benefit of a few self-appointed controllers of the world's resources, including food, water, and alternative energy technologies. And I could go on and on and on with those, but those are some of the more pressing ones. We must honor the Creator's laws. Only then can we begin to see the fallacies of our own legal system. And they have this secret society, and this is controlled by the banks. Those that control the purse strings control these laws, that they would develop this one world government, an oppressed government, or a government of oppression with really no boundaries. I mean, you got a guy right now sitting in the White House that thinks he's God himself. King Tut, reincarnated, he's the Messiah. And he can't even produce enough documentation to get a driver's license. Let's his driver's, his fines, his traffic fines, sit for 17 years. Somebody found him and they paid him off real fast. 17 years! Any of us can do that? No. We're not part of the game. Or at least we're not on the side of the game that they consider us to be on. But that's changing, folks. We must end the use of nuclear weapons and other dangerous technologies. These should have never been created. That's part of the psychopathy and the insanity of what's going on. We must end religious oppression, racial genocide, and the dumbing down of the masses, the intentional manipulation of people's minds and their bodies, which is intended to disconnect or separate them from their Creator. Religion lies to us and tells us that because we are sinful beings, that we have been separated from God. We've been separated from the Creator. And that is the biggest lie. And these are the people teaching us that, those falsehoods, are the pedophiles and the perverts and the drug abusers. And I could go on and on and on with that, but that's not my intention. We must honor truth and recognize the endless stream of lies and propaganda for what they are. Those are their excuses for what they do. It's simple. And we're supposed to accept these as, well, politicians lie, the world leaders, they always lie, they always cheat on their wives. They always do all these illegal things, but that's part of politics. Why do we're just as insane for allowing them to do that, for accepting that? Is that the kind of people that you want in your family? You know, is that when you choose a mate, are those the qualities you choose in the person that you marry and decide to have a family with? And yet, and I can hear people out there saying, heck no, I would never do that. And yet, we have people leading the world that do that. Now, I'll go on with a couple more here. We must honor and respect all life throughout the universe and our God-given sovereignty. That's a no-brainer there. That's just an extension of what we have here. Because we have to realize the impact of what we do and what we don't do here on this earth equally affects everything else in the universe in some way. You may not see about it or learn about it today. You may not feel it or hear it for some time, but eventually you'll have to come to face it. And then I said, we must learn to love one another. And that is the most profound meaning of the word love and all of its expressions that I'm referring to in that statement. And I'm just surmising what it would be like. I mean, these are the things that are destroying the earth and destroying mankind, certainly not destroying God. God has given us free rein to destroy ourselves if we choose to do that. Funny thing is, you'll, in the end, have to take responsibility. And that may include not existing anymore. So, that said, in terms of your purpose now. What is your purpose in life? If you're listening to this show, you may be a person sometimes referred to as a server or someone who is in service to the divine plan. In fact, I posted such a document on my website. Servers of the divine plan. And this is referring to the soul that comes here to the earth to participate in the salvation of the earth. And I'm not necessarily saying in a religious sense, but in the pure physical salvation, the sustenance of the earth and its subsequent transformation into another reality, into a higher reality. Now, I have a question here. This is, and I'm going to read the name and where it's from, and I'm going to answer this question as best I can. Ken from North Carolina, hello Ken, asks, how are we going to get into the universe while evil people are still in control of the planet? I think what you mean to say is how are we going to become members of the United Galactic Federation? We already are in the universe. I can throw that question back at you, Ken, and the rest of the listeners. What would you do to rid the evil on this planet? What would you do? You see, we're creators, or we're co-creators. Are we creating evil, or are we creating the opposite of evil? What purpose does evil serve other than to show us what is good? The ones that use evil methods to carry out their ends right now have gotten this idea somehow in their heads, and probably other parts of their anatomy, that they can become greater than God, greater than the creator of the universe. And he allows that to go on. It doesn't mean he's stupid. It's showing us that he permits this to happen. I think the evil ones are losing control of the planet. I think it's because of shows like this. I think it's because of topics like this. And I'm not the only person that brings this information forth. But I certainly feel that today was a time when this had to come out. Just because of things that they have planned for the very near future. And what you're witnessing going on in the world, yes, it is evil. But if you're not participating in it, does it affect you? Well, your refusal to acknowledge that it's there might affect you. You know, if you're ignoring that the evil's there, then are you allowing your children to be vaccinated with things that you have no idea of? You have not a clue what those vaccines actually do. Oh, but then you have to trust this because the FDA approved these vaccines. Oh, did they? What were they tested on? Mice? Rats? Worms? Cockroaches? Or themselves? Who were the guinea pigs for these things? Why is it important for us to get these things when God gave us, God created us, with everything we need to exist? And he gave us the earth to sustain us and to provide that. But we had to pollute the earth and destroy the earth and assail every natural thing on the earth, in the earth, and of it, somehow to show that we are in charge. And I speak for the whole of humanity, whether good or evil. Those of us allowing it to go on without doing anything about it. Okay? I mean, how are we going to get into, I think you mean to say the Galactic Federation, so I'm going to modify your question. How are we going to get into the Galactic or the United Galactic Federation while evil people still are in control of the planet? Well, under those conditions, we will not get into the Galactic Federation until we take the power away from the evil people. All we have to do is take back our power. Most have given it up. Most have given it up to the boob tube, sitting in front of TV programs nonstop, munching on chips and guzzling down a case of beer, night after night after night, day after day, throughout a lifetime. I'm being very general. I'm not attacking people that drink beer, that might have an occasional beer. But to just be plopped down and to be mind-controlled with an idiot box that was designed just to do that is a very limited existence. If that is your purpose in life, then you should get paid for it. I would write to the beer companies and the potato chip manufacturers and even the manufacturer of the TV and the couch, and tell them how much you love their product and that you want to promote it for them, that you're expert at using them all simultaneously. Now you can earn a living doing it. They'll be happy to pay you because they can brainwash more people. They can brainwash your family and your friends and their family and their friends, on and on. And they've done that for the past 70 years. At least, to the whole of humanity around the planet. And all of a sudden they've gotten this holistic attitude that now we have to have high-definition television. We've got to see it real clear and hear it real clear. While they secretly hide the technologies that they're using to spy and to further control you through subliminal manipulation. And you wonder how a planet like this is going to get into the Galactic Federation? Now, what power do we have to stop this? Stop using it. Stop using those products. Stop buying those things. Stop buying into the illusions. And face reality. And think from in your heart center. You've been taught to think with the mind, and all of your belief systems are in your mind. The mind is a tool. And there are different aspects of mind. You've heard about universal mind. That's the total consciousness. That's a total summation of everybody's thoughts, creative or destructive, everything interacting throughout all of existence. That's the universal mind. There's a high vibration of that, and on some planes that these base fundamental thoughts on this planet of the lowest order cannot even reach into those realms. Much like you can keep a person out of a certain area, like in a bank with a vault. You can keep most people out of a bank vault without doing something unnatural, like blowing it up. But if you were in a pure society, you wouldn't even need the bank vault. You wouldn't need banks. You wouldn't even need money. If you were just operating on love, everything would be giving and receiving, and there would be no taking and stealing. If they were operating on pure love and pure light and goodness. Oh, when General Jeremiah said, "We're not quite ready," he was not underestimating anything about the reality on this planet. The people that we have accepted or allowed to become leaders on this planet, whether they feel it's some special birthright or special dispensation they have because of a secret society they belong to or some blood-drinking ritual they did or some perverted sex act they performed on a child, we're responsible for all that, folks. We're responsible for that. But before you feel like I'm blaming anyone in particular, ask yourself what your purpose is in life, why you're here. Why did you come here? I asked myself that many, many years ago. And I honestly didn't have it revealed to me that I would be doing this talk I'm doing tonight, or the research I've been doing, or the interviews I do 5 nights a week, and the many other shows I appear on, and all the things I do that I give of myself to help other people. Usually for very little or no compensation, by the way. So it's not about money that I do it for. And God opens up doors to make that happen, to make that possible. And there are people blessed by messages like this. Or at least their eyes open, and they don't have to, again, I'm not asking anyone to believe anything I'm saying. But what is your purpose in life? You know, is your purpose to get all your answers and make all your decisions based on what I tell you? I hope not. You know, who do I rely on when I have to make a decision? Who am I going to rely on? So, Ken, I hope I answered your question. Noella, if you want to share something, you can send me an email. I'm always into happy information. And Ken from North Carolina, I hope I sort of answered your question. We've got to take responsibility. Yes, there have been evil people on this planet for 450,000 years. I've already said that. When are we going to wake up and smell the coffee and do something about it? Hold these people to a higher standard. We figured out the games. You understand? We figured out what they do with the banks, what they do with the stock market, what they do with the derivatives and the hedge funds, the offshore accounts, what they're doing to real estate, what they do with insurance. What they did with the gold, what they did with the government, what they did with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. What else do you need to hear? And I can name more things. What have you done anything, you yourself, have you done out there in the listening audience, anything with one of those things that I mentioned? Have you taken a step toward that? Be concerned about the fact that everyone thinks they voted the first black man the president of the United States. You got somebody that the overwhelming evidence says that he's not from this country and has no right to be where he is. I don't care if he's green and pink and from Mars. And a few people I know out there are laughing because I may have spoken some truth there in that last statement. I mean, it's insane what's going on. It's gotten so corrupt and so insane and so dark. And it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to accept that. We can create a new reality. I've said that many, many times on this show. But it's pointless for you to set about creating your own reality when you haven't figured out what your life's purpose is. And how do you find that out? You can talk to God. You can ask God to show you this. I don't care what religion you are, you can talk to God. The name of your religion doesn't change who God is, who the Creator is. It doesn't change the earth, how the earth functions. It doesn't change why mankind came here. Nor does anything crazy that goes on in this place have anything to do with the real reason, other than there are people that came here with a very high goal of overcoming all of this illusion, and which corruption and fear is a big part of. You're taught to fear these people, yet they themselves don't confront you. They send their minions, you see. They have to hide behind the skirts of these individuals. And yes, I said skirts. Because if they were men, they wouldn't act like they do. And don't think it's just men who are evil on this planet. There are some women who are every bit as evil as the men. Every bit as corrupt. And stop at nothing to get what they want. We don't question war. We hide behind this false mask of patriotism. We don't even understand the meaning why we have 13 stripes on the American flag. And basically any country can look, you know, a person from another country can look at the meaning of the flag in their country and find out that there's some secret, sinister, hidden meaning, symbolic meaning of it. It's another icon. The flag doesn't make the country. It's supposed to represent something. What does it represent with 13 stripes? Well, we were told it was the 13 colonies. Are you sure that's not just the ruse to get us thinking of the number 13? Because there were 13 Illuminati families? The so-called elite, enlightened ones? Well, they're so enlightened that they're losing their grip on humanity. Finally. After hundreds of thousands of years, after destroying this planet and the planet coming back and destroying it again, destroying all life on the planet a number of times, they're going to try to do it again as if somehow this time it's going to work. And they're busy making everyone else suffer throughout their existence on this planet until they wake up. Until those that are suffering wake up. So this message is in a way about waking up. I could do many, many of these shows. There's a lot that I haven't covered. But these are the fundamentals, you know, that you came here with a purpose out of a spark of God's imagination. You came here to live a life to turn all of this around, to change this. And the fact that you're listening to this show is testament to that fact. And I know there are millions of people out there listening to this show tonight. And I do want to find out what Noella in Canada has to share. with us, and I will share that. I'll share that. If I get that message before tomorrow night's show, I'll share that tomorrow. And I hope I answered Ken's question. You know, there are evil people. What makes evil, what empowers evil people? Mostly what empowers them is our lack of consciousness, our unawareness, or our apathy, and our refusal to take responsibility for ourselves. It's not up to anyone else to take care of us. It's up to ourselves to take care of us. And that through that consciousness, that awareness, you will escape fear. The fear stops immediately as soon as you see the game and who's in control and what their motive is. You see, because they can't take these things with them either. They're the biggest victims of their own illusion. They're the ones most controlled in their attempts to control us. They are truly the ones that are controlled. And in their greed and their corruption, they are the most bankrupt. In fact, they own the banks. And the banks are bankrupt. And we're still alive to talk about it. What does that tell you? Does that not show that we have something of more value? And that they have to do these things to us? Are we not more important? That they have to direct all this attention on us? Or that they have to prevent us from discovering these truths, from learning these things, from becoming aware or wise to the truth? What does that do? Does that perchance empower us in some way? Making us be a threat to their illusions? Consider that. That's the game going on here in the planet, in the nutshell, folks. And to find who you are, and I can tell you, you're not your body, and you're not your mind. In fact, you use the term, my body, my mind. It belongs to you, so it is not you. It's something that you possess for a time. And who you are is the person or the entity driving the body and the mind. You're the captain of the ship. So few know that. You are. You're your own captain of your own ship. And you can steer it in whatever course you choose to steer it. And the more of us that do that, the more difficult it is for them to tell us what direction we have to steer it. In fact, many illusions fall by the wayside and evaporate with the first morsel of truth that comes through. And there may be some, you know, it's not even a thing that you may have to talk to God about. Some of you darn well know, if you could choose what you would do for your life's vocation or something meaningful that you would do with the rest of your life, you already know what that is. You've already decided what that is. Many, many years ago, you just never did anything about it. And what I'm doing personally right now is just part of who I am and what I would do. It's just part of it. It's not it, who I am. This radio show is not me. Even this message is not me. And yet I can relate to the message. This message is flowing through me. From outside of this three-dimensional prison planet called Earth, I can tell you that, and yet it flows constantly, naturally, into nature, through nature, and into the animal kingdom, which is also part of nature, and into the Earth itself, and the Earth reciprocates and gives us life. And what do? We destroy it. We bleed it of all of its resources and its capacity to sustain life. We literally destroy the life force of the earth and wonder why we ourselves are depleted in our own life force, why we become ill or sick. And beyond those diseases that are intentionally created, because it's become such a science that you can produce psychosomatic diseases out of thought, and they can be produced by other people's thoughts. They target remote viewers, teams of remote viewers on people, hit squads to remove people. But they all fear God. They all fear what is good. And as long as they're that way, and as long as they treat humanity that way, they will not become part of any kind of federation, on planet or off, other than their federation of corrupt entities, criminal enterprise. We have a long way to go, and yet the clock is moving very rapidly. And soon, in this reality, time will cease. And we'll have to accept a higher vibration, or strive to attain that higher vibration. Or you just keep coming back or into some realm of existence where you will get the lessons right. Eventually, you will learn the truth. The question is, will you decide to do it now? Will you choose to do it in this lifetime? Or will it be something to put on the back burner for some other time in existence? The earth is going to heal itself. It is healing itself. And we can also do likewise. In healing ourselves, we can heal each other. And then all the madness and all the insanity and the corruption and the senseless loss of life and all the evil, as Ken from North Carolina said, will just disappear. It won't serve the purpose anymore. You see, these things that we hold on to remain as long as they serve a purpose. And if we are not learning the lessons, if we're not getting the lessons, we're going to keep getting the same lessons over and over and over. You think these elite ones, these enlightened ones, would have figured out somehow that oppressing humanity is just going to create this vicious cycle. See, we don't have to die as men before we reach the age of 70 or 72. They like to put these averages out. They say, yeah, the average man lives so many years. The average woman lives this long. And usually it's 5 years or so beyond what a man lives. And when that is the case, then we've already accepted a boundary, a predetermined time, but we've allowed someone else to tell us how long we're going to exist. I would say if you got up every morning and looked in the mirror and said to yourself, looking in your eyes, look at your face in the mirror and look into your eyes and say, you know, I'm looking younger every day. I'm beginning to look younger because I'm realizing that I am in control of my life and I have power over my health and my appearance. And my inner self, my higher self, is playing a role in this now. And how I look physically, though it is not of utmost importance, how I feel physically and how my body functions in my fulfilling my purpose in life. You see, it's got to come from a spiritual place first. As I'm fulfilling my purpose in life, I'm reaping the benefits of the consciousness of who I really am. And so I'm raising my vibration. And instead of dying, now I'm living. and you'll find that you can actually reverse the aging process right there. You don't need pills, you don't need cream, you don't need injections. You don't need to put foreign substances in your body to change the dimensions of your body. You know, it's like buying a car, buying a sport car, and then attaching a trailer to it. Because you want to be able to carry more things around with it, okay? But expecting it to be a sport car, it's not going to happen. Not with the trailer on it. If you're going to race it, you're going to have problems, you see. We do things to our bodies, we do things to our minds, and we pay so little attention to who we really are. And we're cheating ourselves on a spiritual level. Really, the ultimate reason why we're here is totally ignored. It's put on the back burner. Or discounted as something imaginary. We don't even know who we are. And is it any wonder we can't accept life in other realms, on other planets, or out in space? Really, consider that. We don't know who we are. We know nothing about where we live. And yet we claim to be experts, and the scientists, who certainly don't know who they are or who we are and don't really know anything about this earth, profess to be experts on the whole universe, can tell us in one sentence, we're looking for life, but we haven't, intelligent life, but we haven't found it. And I often say, start looking here on this planet first. Spend your money there. But you see, they don't really tell us the truth. They don't tell us what they're doing, which you find out when you do the research. You're going to find this out in anything that you research, where the government is involved, where official documentation is put out. You're going to find out that we've been lied to at every turn. That's a tough pill to swallow. That's such a tough pill to swallow. It's even difficult for the pharmaceutical companies to make that one. But if they could put a lie in a pill, believe me, they would, and they would sell it to their own mothers. Well, I've definitely exceeded my allotted time. I appreciate your listening in. There's a lot more that I have to say about this subject, and I'm sure in the coming days and weeks on this show, it will come about. If I'm afforded another time, maybe on a Monday in the month of July, I will pick up on this and go a bit deeper. This is a very fundamental talk. It's by no means the highest of what there is to know about metaphysics, but it's certainly a way to connect the realm of the physical and the mental, which is all being controlled by technological means and by misinterpretation or reinvention of languages and symbology, pictures, sensory deprivation or sensory overload, and through the toxification of the physical body, and the effect that it has on dulling the mind, which makes the mind more susceptible to both conscious and subconscious manipulation, mind control, brainwashing, propaganda, whatever you want to call it. It's all that evil that Ken from North Carolina was describing. Definitely has an evil element to it. In and of itself, it's nothing unless people do something with it. What does fear look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? What color is it? How large or small is it? We pay so much attention to fear and pretending that fear is not there. And we don't really look at it. We don't look at it honestly or responsibly. We don't see it for what it is. It's just an illusion. It actually holds no power over you, only what you give it. In every case, what's being done to mankind would stop if people would stop allowing it to occur. Just refuse to accept it. It would change humanity overnight. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening in, and certainly I have much more to say, but so little time to say it. So I'll try to get this talk continued in the coming weeks, as I said a moment ago. Special thanks go to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, our callers, as well as those who have not called in. I hope you got something out of the show tonight, and I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light. Join me tomorrow night for my special guest, Drew Raines, and I wish you a very good night.